Turn to Acts chapter 2. About a week after he ascended into heaven, Jesus' followers were all gathered together in one house. Now they were probably praying, since they seemed to be doing a lot of that. And then all of a sudden, there came upon them the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Over each of their heads appeared what looked to be a flaming tongue of fire. Now it seems immediately they went outside to some wide open place where a crowd could gather, probably the temple courts or something like that, and they began to speak to the crowds, declaring to them the wonders of God. But what is amazing is that they were no longer speaking in just Aramaic, the language of Palestine. No, now they were speaking in languages from all over the Roman Empire, Greek, Arabic, and more. They were speaking in languages they had never known before. Needless to say, this caused quite a stir. The crowd grew. The people began to wonder how this thing could be and what it could mean. Some of them thought that maybe they had drunk a little too much grape juice, of the fermented variety. But Peter stood up to explain. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now, Peter has the attention of the whole crowd, and the most important fact he wants to share with them is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why? Well, look down at verses 32 through 33. "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." Peter was telling the crowds that, no, the disciples were not drunk. They were not babbling crazy fools. No, they were men filled with the Holy Spirit. And how is it that the Holy Spirit came to be poured out upon them? It was Jesus. The Jews gathered in Jerusalem thought that Jesus was dead. But Peter was telling them that Jesus was very much alive. The disciples had seen Jesus leave earth, but Jesus had not abandoned them. Jesus was not finished with what he had to do on earth. Here Jesus was, a week later, pouring out his Spirit upon his followers. Jesus was still working among them. He was still helping them. He sent them power from on high. He gave them the gift of the Spirit. Now, how does Peter know this? Well, because of what Jesus had told them when he was with them on earth. In John 16:7, before Jesus died, he told the disciples, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate," meaning the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." This is one of the main reasons that Jesus left this earth and entered heaven. He went to heaven so that he might send down the Holy Spirit to help his disciples. Jesus wanted his disciples to have all of the Spirit's help and power available to them. But the Spirit was not just for Jesus' main disciples. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 39. Peter continues to speak, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Peter lets them know that it was their sin and wickedness that nailed Jesus to that cross, but Jesus is now alive. He is now the Lord of heaven and earth, and if they repent and turn to Jesus and trust in him, he will forgive their sins. Not only that, he will give them the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus did not just pour out the Spirit once. He pours out his Spirit on everyone who turns to him. This includes us. The promise was for the Jews, it was for the children, for their children, and it was for all who are far off. He says, it was for everyone called by God. Now, about 3,000 trusted in Christ that day, and they all received the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Well, if you look at how they lived. Look at verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It sounds to me like the Holy Spirit was working among them, because it's the Holy Spirit who brings about that kind of community. So Jesus' work on earth was not done just because he left this earth. He continued to pour out the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him, and he continued to work through the Holy Spirit to create his church. And we will see more of Jesus' work after we ourselves also have an opportunity to praise God like the early church and also to give like the early church gave.